I wanted to mention something I saw on the internet. They post Brother Moore's YouTube. He's on YouTube. And I was looking down between them, and I saw something that said the false teachings of the Apostle Paul. So I went to it, and these people use verses of the gospel of the kingdom, the law, in contrast to Paul. And they don't comprehend anything very apparent, but at least they're honest enough to know that they're not the same thing. They even go to the extreme of possibly calling him an antichrist, Paul.
Well, that's the way of the world, especially when people don't know who the apostle is that we are to follow today and who is our example. In the last couple of weeks or so, we've been talking about the church of Matthew 16 versus the church, the body of Christ. And Lord willing, I want to continue with that again this morning because of the things that are so different involved in the both churches. And people have a bad attitude, but when they see the word church, they think it's all just one big church. Well, Moses was in the church in the wilderness back there. Well, the church of body of Christ didn't start back there with Moses. You find that in the book of Hebrews. So we're going to continue with that this morning. If you will, turn to Acts chapter 7 and 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the time we have here this morning, and Lord, we pray your blessings on the lesson this morning, that you get the honor and the glory in the class. And Father, we ask you to build us up by the leadership of the Spirit, that we be attentive to your word and that we believe you mean what you say. And Father, we especially this morning continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with them, to comfort them, and to heal these people according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching. Stephen is preaching to Israel. He is not preaching to the church, the body of Christ. Now, they didn't like what Stephen said. And verse 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stop the ears, these people that Stephen's preaching to, and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And laid their, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, if before we go too far, in case there's somebody that don't understand who Saul is here, hold your places you got. Go to chapter 13 of Acts. Acts chapter 13. Verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Now go back to Acts chapter 7, verse 58. They cast him out of the city, Stephen, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knelt down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Verse 1 of chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. and the devout men carried Stephen to his burial. Now listen, Stephen just didn't pass out and go to sleep. Stephen died, but it's called sleep, if you please. You understand? A lot of people don't understand that. They get their doctrine mixed up about sleeping because of a denomination, and I won't call their names, they don't need any, that believe that sleeping is sleeping in the grave. I don't believe that. And God Almighty doesn't preach that. They're sleeping, those back here in the Old Testament, when they went to sleep, they were carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom, down into the heart of this earth. And you'll find this in Luke chapter 16. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham and Lazarus, the beggar, and the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I'm going to say this is Abraham here, and here's the beggar right here. He died, and he's down there. There's nobody has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even Jesus Christ, who is in heaven. There's nobody from Adam to the present day time has ascended to heaven. So they've gone to sleep somewhere. So these Old Testament saints, and these in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that were saved, and I use that term very loosely, because they're looking for salvation at the second coming. And that's another difference between this church and the church which is the body of Christ that the Apostle Paul wrote 13 epistles to. This is called the church which is his body. And this body was resurrected in AD 33. We are, listen to me, privileged. We are the only people that have ascended up to heaven. And you have ascended to heaven only if you have trusted that when Christ died at Calvary, he paid for all your sins. All your sins are covered. They are done away with. God can't see them. He sees the blood of his Son put to our account. That's why in Romans chapter 5, verse 11, Paul said, we, which is the church, the body of Christ, we have now received the atonement. In other words, without the shedding of blood, you can't get into the presence of God. And you can't go in there in flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, these people here, if they believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the King of Israel, they die, they go down to Abraham's bosom. There's a gulf fixed between there where Abraham is, and Abraham's in these flames down there. He said, I'm tormented in these flames down here, and he wants Abraham to send Lazarus over here and dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. Can't even get one drop of water down there, beloved. Not one drop. And beloved, I don't give a flip what nobody tells you. There ain't no way that you can come out of here back up here regardless of what somebody does that's here on this earth. They can't pray you out of hell. I don't care what nobody tells you that. This Abraham says, I'll get back to it in a minute. The rich man said, Father Abraham. So I know the rich man's a Jew. He's a non-believing Jew. He said, Father Abraham, I got five brethren up here. Said, send somebody up from down here that they go up and tell them about this awful place, lest they come down here. He said, those that are there can't go up yonder, and those that are here can't go to where you are. In other words, you're sealed. Your fate is sealed the moment you take your last breath. And if you have never trusted that Jesus Christ died for you, and that alone has get you into heaven, then you're going to wind up in hell down there, and you cannot get out of it. Over here, after the 1,000-year millennial reign, there's going to be a great white throne judgment, and death and hell give up its dead, and they are cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever.
ever and ever. I mean, it don't never stop. You know, I know what 70 some odd years is, but I don't know what forever is. I have not the foggiest idea how long forever is. I cannot explain it to you. Maybe you can explain it to me. Do you know what it forever is? It's perpetual, I know that. Whatever perpetual is, it doesn't never cease. You don't want to wind up in the flames of fire forever and ever and ever. Because it's torment. Totally separated from God Almighty forever and ever and ever. And if you go to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, you're going to find out that Satan is going to be cast down into this place down here. And the people that see him when he goes by, they're going to say, are you become weak as we? You know, Satan is the God of this world today. And he'll use anything he can to trick you to believe another gospel. He'll reward people. He'll give them 10 million followers. He'll do anything he can to get you on his side. He's been doing it from day one back here. Before the world was ever formed, Satan gossiped in heaven, and there are fallen angels, and they are called the sons of God. And that's why Satan, in the mouth of talking to Eve back here, said, God doeth know that you shall be as gods. Not as God, the creator of heaven and earth, but as gods. Y'all go back and study that thing. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 said, there are lords many and gods many in the world today. And you know where you find them? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you find them in the pulpit. But you know what they're doing? They're speaking lies and saying God said this and God said that. When God, and Jeremiah is very clear about that in Jeremiah 23, if you desire to study it, God said, I did not send these people to lie. So if you know somebody that's trying to preach the gospel of the kingdom in this dispensation here, just yawn real big and try to show him, hey, we live in the dispensation of grace. We don't live in the dispensation of the kingdom. This is the gospel that Jesus Christ preached back here. Now, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. Well, I know that according to Matthew 16, Jesus Christ said, I'm going to build a church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. You know why he said the gates of hell? They can't go up, beloved. They believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but they don't have forgiveness of sins. They have remission of sins. You understand? Remission and forgiveness ain't the same thing. We have forgiveness of sins. Now, go to 1 Timothy. Hold Acts. I apologize. Hold Acts. And we're going to go back to Acts chapter 9. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's start in verse 11. Now listen, if you have a question, let's stop and talk about it. I mean, this ain't no brainwashing class. I'm not trying to convince you to stop going here or stop or don't go yonder and don't do this and don't do that. All I'm trying to do is to show you the truth of what God is doing in this dispensation that we live in. You understand? Now, if you have a question, stop me. Let's talk about it. 1 Timothy 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. Now listen, I'm going to stop right there. Paul's a blasphemer. We just read it. In Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8, he was consenting unto Stephen's death. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. And we read in Acts that Paul also, who is called this Saul, who is also called Paul, what did he say? Filled with the Holy Ghost. A blasphemer? When Jesus Christ in the gospel of the kingdom said a blasphemer can't be saved, neither here nor in this world to come over here, and here's a blasphemer that's saved, well, what you going to do with that? I mean, if you stick to your doctrine in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus Christ said a blasphemer can't be saved, and you get over here and you find a blasphemer being saved, did Jesus Christ lie? Something is different. You've got to figure out, hey, this Bible means exactly what it says where it says it. Something is different. Now watch what he says here. Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Now watch what he says. That in me first, well, Paul is the first member baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Unto me first, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter. Hereafter, Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved. From hereafter, anybody that gets in the church, the body of Christ, has to get in it by the way Paul got in. How did Paul get into the church, the body of Christ? Go to Galatians chapter 1, I'll show you. Go to Galatians, hold Acts. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Did Paul, when he got saved, did he go up to these 12 apostles that Jesus Christ had trained? Look at chapter 1, verse 11. Galatians 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen, I want to ask you a question, and you please do this for me. Not here this morning, but I want you to go start in the book of Acts chapter 1 and go all the way through 28 chapters, and I want you to come back next Sunday, and I want you to show me, you can go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in there also. I tell you what, dude, you start at Matthew here, and you go all the way through to the book of Revelations. Don't study Romans to Philemon, and you show me where God Almighty trained the Apostle Paul while he was on this earth. I can show you where Jesus Christ trained 12 men. Paul just told you that I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me was not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. When did the Lord appear to the Apostle Paul and teach him this? Go back to Acts 9. Paul's on the road to Damascus. He's persecuting people that believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and the Lord saps him down on the ground, and he falls on the dirt, and the Lord appears unto him. And Paul said, let's go to verse 4. And he fell to the earth, Saul, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Go to chapter 9. Now this church, now Paul is saved. Acts 9 verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now he did not tell them at this point. Now I don't see anywhere where he did. If you do, maybe you can help me. That he said that Christ died for your sins. Now, I know he did later on, but right here he didn't. Now, go to verse 31, Acts 9:31. Then had the churches, what churches? That is not the church, the body of Christ. Paul's the first member in the church, the body of Christ. So, in Acts chapter 8, he's persecuting those people in the that in this church, involved in this church back here. So when Paul got saved, then these churches had rest. From what? From the persecution that Paul brought on them. Now, go to Acts 26 while we're here. Acts 26. Now let's look what Paul says. And I'm going to show you some more about this church here versus this church in just a minute. Now, in Acts 26, Paul is standing before King Agrippa, and he's giving his account of what happened in Acts chapter 9 when he was on the road to Damascus persecuting people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the King of Israel. Now, verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. Y'all remember what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, about the glorious gospel? It has to do with light. Do you know what light does? It illuminates. It illuminates. I want you to have light. Not just incandescent light or whatever they call this stuff. Incandescent. Is that what this is? Incandescent. Okay. I want you to have light from the Lord in your mind. I want you to see something with your spiritual mind. You understand? You can turn all the lights out here and make it pitch dark, and you can still in your mind see the light of the Lord. Now, that's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to see in your mind's eye something. Now, at midday, verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we all fall to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul. I know Saul is a Hebrew name. Okay? It's a Jewish name. That's why his name is changed in Acts 13, verse 9, to Paul, because Paul is a Gentile name, and Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, I go to the heathen, which is a reference to Gentiles. Not God's chosen people, Israel, Gentiles. Now, saying unto me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. Verse 15, and I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, that's Israel, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. To do what? to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Go to Acts chapter 13. Go to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas have been sent forth by the Holy Spirit, and Paul is preaching to these people, and we're not going to read all of it. He's talked about they crucified Christ, but God's raised him from the dead. Now, verse 34, and as concerning that he raised him from the dead, talking about the resurrection of Christ, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give thee the sure mercies of David. In other words, according to prophecy, Jesus Christ came to sit on the throne of his father David. Okay, remember these things. It's going to be important when we get to Acts 2. For time's sake now, they come to verse 37. But he whom God raised again, this talking about Jesus now, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ the man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You notice he did not say through this lamb. You know what he said? Through this man. Listen, a lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God for Israel. A man, the Lord Jesus Christ, a man, Romans chapter 5, if you please, by one man, sin into the world, Adam's sin. So death passed upon all men. As by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ was obedient to God and went to Calvary as a criminal, as a man, died and shed his blood. So by one man, and this is the man that he's talking about here. Now watch what he says here in verse 39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Can these people be justified by the law of Moses? Can't do it. Paul said in Galatians, had there been a law given which could have brought righteousness, then it should have been by the law. But we know in Romans 3:21 he said, but now the righteousness of God without the law. Now, go to Acts 2, Matthew 4. Let's do something. Acts 2, Matthew chapter 4. We'll start at Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4. Now he's got some apostles here with him. And he names them in verse 18 and 19 along in there. And 20, you can see them. Now verse 23. Has anybody got a red letter? This red letter?
No.
In verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. If Jesus Christ preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? There ain't no problem with it. Gospel of the kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Now, go to Matthew 24. We're going to get to Acts 2 in a minute. We headed that way. Matthew 24. Verse 14. Now listen, I'm not skipping all these other verses. You go home and you study it and you see it for yourself. In verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What gospel did he tell them to preach? The gospel of the kingdom, right? Go to Mark chapter 16. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 16. Now listen, this is where you start getting into the crooks when you get here. And God's got their number. God has got their number. So just yawn real big and believe Paul meant what he said in Romans chapter 12. God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And you can find that in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and Psalms. You can find it. God said his wrath will be poured upon this world for disobedience. Disobedience to what? To the words of Almighty God. Now watch what he says here. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Judas Iscariot has not been replaced yet. So there's not but 11 apostles here at this time. Judas is when hung himself for betraying the Lord. You'll find Judas replaced in Acts chapter 1. He's replaced by Matthias. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. What gospel? Gospel of the kingdom. Beloved, you can't miss that. Gospel of the kingdom. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Is that what he told them to do? Did he stop right there?
No.
Well, why does the religious churches stop right there?
They can't do it. Coming up.
They can't handle the rest of it. So they don't know what to do with it, so they just tiptoe around it. Let's read the rest of it. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Well, they might trick you and believe in that. They shall speak with new tongues, and they try that all the time. They shall take up serpents, and I've seen some of them doing this. And I saw watching TBN one time, and there was a fellow comes on, I don't know his name, religious comedian like, and he said he went into one of them snake handling churches and said there's pictures of men on the wall and people on the wall around there, and they in there dancing, playing with these rattlesnakes and all this. He said he asked one and said, why all these pictures up here? He said, well, they got bit and died. He said he got out of there.
I guess they didn't believe.
No. They didn't have enough faith. That's what they're copying. Well, you just ain't got enough faith. Wrong dispensation, beloved. Verse 17 again. These signs shall follow them that believe. Did he say these signs shall follow the apostles? Who did these signs going to follow? Them that believe. He that believeth then is baptized. I did. I got baptized. Oh, I thought I was perfect. Thought everything was cool. But I couldn't do none of the rest of this stuff. I just didn't have enough faith, I reckon. Watch what he says. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. By the way, when you see somebody on television that believes this, Pentecostals especially believe it, when they... I bind Satan in you. I cast him out of you. And this man, oh, hallelujah, he's gone. How do you know anything come out of it? Could you prove anything come out of it? You know how you can prove it? You want me to show you how you can prove it? Oh, what you got to go to Acts 16. It's got Paul put in prison. Acts 16. I'll show you how you can prove it. in Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, this is the Apostle Paul's ministry, a certain damsel, that's a lady, possessed with the spirit of divination met us. In other words, she's operating in the spirit of Satan, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Is she lying? No, she's telling the truth. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Now you notice he didn't say to the damsel, he said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he, the spirit of Satan, and he came out of her the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and they finally threw them in jail. So if you see somebody casting out the devil, you ought to see something change. You know? Something drastically changed. Jesus Christ healed a fellow one time, and he asked him, he said, what's your name? He said, my name is Legion. You know why? He had multiple devils in him. And he wanted the Lord to heal him. And the Lord did. And the spirits that were in this man said, don't send us away empty. Let us, if there's some hogs over yonder, let us go over there. You find this in Mark chapter 5. He said, there's some hogs over there. Let us go into these swine. They call them swine. Y'all may not know what swines is, but we know what hogs is. So he said, let us go in there. And they did. And you know what them pigs did? They run to a bluff, and all of them drowned it. Y'all got any idea how many devils that man had in him? Go to Mark 5. You find this where he gives a name in verse 9, verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, these evil spirits. And the unclean spirits came out and entered into the swine. And the swine ran vehemently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. 2,000 hogs went and killed themselves. These evil spirits. Beloved, when you see somebody cast out a devil out of somebody, you better see something happen. Now, go back to Mark. Chapter 16. So those people, they fake this casting out devils and all that. They fake speaking with tongues. Now verse 18. They shall take up serpents. He didn't say if they take up serpents. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, I don't know the statistics on this, but there have been a lot of little children, especially when they get up to age where they can walk and plunder and all that. They warn you to lock your cabinets and stuff. You got red devil lye under the sink, and you got poisons under there for cleaning the house and all. And these kids get this stuff and drink it, and it kills them. Do you think them kids just didn't have enough faith to believe this? They ain't got the foggiest idea about this situation. Brother, this is not our instructions in this dispensation. It's for this church that Jesus Christ started back here in Matthew chapter 16. He said, upon this church, or this rock, I'll build my church. Jesus Christ, we saw according to Romans chapter 1 Corinthians 10, that Jesus Christ is that rock. Now, back to this right here in Mark 16. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they may recover. You know, I used to fascinate me. That blow down stinking Oral Roberts, he's dead, and that's probably busted in hell wide open right now between him and God. His old son coming along doing the same stinking thing, Richard Roberts. They claim they can heal people. You know what his daddy did?
He
built a hospital. You mean God Almighty gave me the power to heal you and I got to go over him build a hospital? Why? This man knows what I'm fixing to tell you. You know about his ex-mother-in-law. Their church believed in healing. They healed his daughter. I go to the hospital to see her and his ex-mother-in-law, she's sitting there. This little old girl laying there with needles in her and oxygen on her. And she said, my people prayed for her and then God healed her. Nothing. I told her, I said, well, if she's healed, won't you get her up and take her home? That lady didn't like me. I didn't have too much for her either.
Yeah, she had health insurance and went to the doctor too. If you believe in that, you don't need either one of those.
You know, you would think that people that are sitting in these churches that see some of their pastors doing this stuff and look around, you know, Sister so-and-so used to sit here, where's Sister so-and-so this morning? Oh, you didn't hear? She died. She died. Well, I thought God said, heal the sick. Did he tell them to heal the sick?
Yeah.
Go to Matthew chapter 10. Now, he names the 12 apostles, and starting in verse 1 through 4. And Paul ain't in this thing. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Did he send Peter to the Gentiles? Did he send John to the Gentiles? Did he send any of them 12 to the Gentiles? He commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Any city of Samaritans, enter you not, but go rather to who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look at it. Verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. You mean Sister so-and-so is dead? Well, let's go to her grave and raise her up. What's wrong? Did God just forget about us in 2012 that we're going to get sick and die? I just had to bury a friend of mine yesterday. A good grace, a blubber, friend of mine. Been in the grace message for years. I met this man 50-some-odd years ago at Forest Park Bible Church. Used to be a drunk. I remember when the man got saved, he smoked Chesterfield cigarettes. Took a pair of scissors and cut that pack of cigarettes in half. Never smoked another. God give him the grace to handle it. He didn't just miraculously take it away from him. He gave him the grace to handle it. He quit drinking. You know what he started doing after that? It didn't make no difference who this man met. And when he met you, he asked you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Every time I'd see this man at these conferences, and he went to them, he'd grab me by the arm, and he'd have a grin from ear to ear, and he said, oh, ain't it wonderful that we know the Lord as our Savior? Ain't it wonderful that we live in the dispensation of grace? It's wonderful. You see, the 12 didn't know anything about this. They knew about all this power. that was going to come on them. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse a leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Now, they could do that, couldn't they? You know, Paul raised a dead girl, and so did Peter. Paul raised a dead man. I apologize, I said a girl, a man. Peter raised a dead girl in Acts chapter 9. Read about it. Peter had this power. Paul in Acts 28 was a prisoner headed to Rome, and they got shipwrecked, and he's picking up a bundle of sticks and putting them on the fire, and a snake grabbed hold to it. And them people there said, well, surely this man needs to die. He survived the wreck out there, but God's getting him. He's going to die. And then nothing happened to him. I wouldn't suggest that you walk up to a rattlesnake and reach down and pick him up. If you do, you better haul boogie to the first hospital that you can get closest to. And you ain't going to be here long if you don't. They will kill you. Now go to Acts 2. I want to show you something. Peter is preaching in Acts 2. And I know of several denominations that believe that Peter is their apostle. Now, I'm not going to read all of it, but we're going to go through here, and I'm going to show you who Peter is talking to in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2. Now, this is the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, and it is a Jewish holiday. It's a Jewish feast day, not given to Gentiles, but to Israel and those that are allied with Israel. Now, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost in chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter, Acts 2, 14. Then Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Now, who is he talking to? Men of Judea and Jerusalem, right? Now, Peter's the preacher here now. Come to verse 22. Same preacher. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. And he talks to them about they crucified the Lord, but God's raised him from the dead to sit on the throne of his father David. Now, come to verse 36. Peter's still preaching. Therefore, let all the house of Israel. Now listen, beloved, you can go from 36 back to 1 and you can't find a Gentile nowhere in the crowd, or can you find a woman in the crowd in Acts 2 that was baptized with this spirit that Peter was baptized with? Now watch what he says here, verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know it surely that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, well, beloved, the them ain't changed. You're not in the context. And these churches that believe that Peter is their apostle are preaching the wrong gospel in this dispensation here. And I don't care what they say. They are wrong, and God has got the number. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? Remission, not forgiveness. What did we read in Acts chapter 13, verse 38? Paul said, whereby you can be forgiven, which you could not be forgiven by the law of Moses. Brother, we got forgiveness of sins, not remission. They get remission, looking forward to forgiveness at the second coming. That's why Acts 3 verse 19 is in your Bible. Look at it. Peter, the same preacher to these people in Acts 2. Go to Acts 3:19. Repent ye. Those same Jews that he's talking to. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now, go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And don't let somebody tell you that we're the far off. That ain't got nothing to do with us. That has to do with Israel. You can find them in Daniel chapter 9, verse 7, Jeremiah 30, verse 10, Ezekiel 6, 12, and Isaiah chapter 60, and Isaiah 43. Those that are far off, Israel, they were scattered all over the world. Now, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, Peter's word, were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now, beloved, they're not saved. They've not got forgiveness yet. They got remission. You understand? They got remission. Forgiveness comes at the second coming. He that endureth to the end. Verse 42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, by the way, if you got somebody that tells you, well, we believe in following Jesus ourselves, take them to Luke 6:46. Jesus Christ said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You know what he told these people to do? Luke 12 and Luke 18, sell everything you got. And they you just read verse 45, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, pay very close attention to the last part of that last verse. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Who added to this church?
The Lord.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He didn't say such as were saved. He said such as should be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13. For by one Spirit. Look at it. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Who added to this church here? The body, which is his church. The Holy Spirit did, beloved. Who does that Holy Spirit add to the church, the body of Christ? Believers. Believing the fact that Christ died for their sins. Who added to this church back here? The Lord did. Okay, that ain't all. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 13. I got about 4 or 5 minutes yet. I think we can get it in. Matthew 13. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Blood, things that are different ain't the same. You don't need to worry about why you can't understand them. Just believe. You got to believe they mean what they say. Now, in Matthew 13, he's talking about the parables there to Israel. He's talking about the time of the harvest. He compared them to wheat and tares, and the servants wanted to know if we ought to go out there and get the tares out of the field, and he said, let both grow together to the time of the harvest. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Go over to chapter 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went to the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed, the Son of Man. The field is the world. That's why John 3:16 is in your Bible, beloved. God so loved the world. In other words, his children's in the world. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. That's the tares. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. Who is going to reap Israel out of this world someday? The angels. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say in you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Who's coming for the church, the body of Christ? The Lord himself. He's the one that added to the church, the body of Christ, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, I don't have time to show you that God's got these liars pinned, and he's got them waiting on a day of wrath, and I'll possibly, maybe we'll get into this next week, some of that. But I can show you God's got their number. So don't worry about them. Just don't pay no attention to them spiritually. Okay? I appreciate y'all being here this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you.
Appreciate you being here.